Right, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38 is our Bible lesson for tonight. Ethan, you might want to shut that back door there in case they start to do some activity. A lot of people away this weekend, or this week, and for the holiday, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. So let's read, if you would, please, in your Bibles, chapter 9 of Matthew and verse 36 down through verse 38. We ready? Everybody got their Bible open? Got your Bible open? All right, very good. You look like you're in another world back there. All right, let's begin. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's have a short word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the Bible study tonight. Lord, help us just for these next several minutes to take these truths and think about them and let them sink into our hearts and have an impact upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you read this, that word truly that's found there in verse number 36, when Jesus said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted not. No, it was in verse 37. Thus saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That word truly there is a very intense word. It's really meant to be emphasized. It's as if Jesus is saying the harvest truly, truly is plenteous. And all through the Scriptures, you know, the Scriptures remind us that we're to reach out to people who are in need, people who need the Lord. That's why last Wednesday, that was a great opportunity to go out and into the community and to be able to share the gospel. A couple of weeks prior to that, we did the bus outreach. We're going to do another bus outreach in July. I think it's the third Saturday in July. But all through the Scriptures, listen to some of these Scriptures. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5. It says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Or Proverbs 20 verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Or Psalm 126 and verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, Proverbs 126:6, that's a verse that's dealing, of course, with winning people to the Lord and spreading the gospel and telling people about Jesus. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5 and Proverbs 20 and verse 4 is really talking about not even so much spiritually, it's just talking about being a productive person. But there is a secondary spiritual application to go out and to share the gospel with people. We're called to share the gospel with people. So three simple points to this message tonight as I looked at this, and here they are. Number one, with regards to spreading the gospel, with regards to handing out tracts, with regards to inviting people to church, with any kind of an outreach, it's really all a matter of how you see it. How do you see it? You notice what it says here about Jesus in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes. So there's hundreds, if not perhaps thousands of people there that Jesus sees. And it's all how you see it. It's all of the view. It's having to have eyes of compassion. And as Jesus looked out at that crowd, and he looked out at that multitude, today, just as then, he knew the hearts and minds of the people. He knew many of them there. They were searching. They were looking. They were looking for direction in their lives. He uses the phrase here, that they were sheep. He says, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And of course, we know that sheep, if they're not shepherded, they'll just wander anywhere. And that's what he saw when he saw these people. Listen, all around us, where you work, where you socialize, things that you're involved in, there are people just wandering around looking for some answers in life. You believe that? It's true. And people are hurting. People have a need. People are... One of the gals that's been coming now, she accepted the Lord several weeks ago, and she was here this past Sunday. She had missed two Sundays in a row, and I called her and I encouraged her to come, and she told me she had been away. But she was invited by one of our other folks. I guess it'd be about 4 weeks ago now, 5 weeks ago. And it was either the first or second Sunday that she was here, she accepted Jesus as her Savior. And the reason she wasn't here for two consecutive weeks after that, she was down dealing with her mom. And then this past Sunday, I didn't speak with her. I think Pastor Ethan spoke with her, but her mom is not doing well. And so we were then, she wanted to go see her mom, and we were then able to give her a little booklet that's entitled, When Life Strikes a Minor Chord. So she was going to take that, visit her mom, and give it to her mom, and let her mom know about Jesus. So here Jesus sees this multitude, but there's multitudes all around us. There's people all around us. Sometimes people at work that we think that they have it all together, deep down inside. Now, when Jesus saw these multitudes, he looked beyond the outside of the people. He could see their hearts. He knew their minds. And when you look around and you see people have needs. But you have to, it's all a matter of how you see it. And Jesus here, he had the eyes of compassion. He was compassionate towards these people, and because he saw the great need that they had. You see this all throughout the Scriptures. Even just go back in chapter 9. You see it a couple of times here. Look what it says in verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over, and he came unto his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. There it is, the eyes of compassion. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he goes on and he says, a couple of verses later on, he says this. Of course, the Pharisees are upset with him. They don't see it, and you'll see that in a minute. The Pharisees never saw it the same way that Jesus sees it. And the world in which we live in never sees it the same way that Jesus sees it. But the Bible says here, just a couple of verses down, he said to the man in verse 5, he's referring to speaking to the Pharisees, for whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. And he said to the man at the end of verse 6, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. He had compassion on the man. He cared about the man. And you and I, we that's the way we need to look at things. We need to ask God often to give us compassion for people. Look at verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. Of course, Matthew would be one of the disciples, but he saw him. Jesus not only sees the needs of people, he sees the potential in people. He saw him. And so you and I, it's all a matter of how we see it, how we look at it. It's so important. Look at verse number 18 in the same chapter. Verse 18. And while he spoke on these things, there came unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. And he said, my daughter is given now to dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her. And then, so he starts to travel. He runs into this woman with an issue of blood. That's a whole other story. He sees her in verse 20. And then she touches her garment, the garment. Look at verse 22. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. There's another reference. He sees. What I'm saying to you is this. When Jesus in verse number 9 here said, when he saw the multitudes, you and I need to see the multitudes like Jesus sees the multitudes. We need the eyes of Jesus. We need the eyes of compassion. We have to ask Jesus for those eyes. Now, what's the contrast? Well, look what it says in verse number 10 of the same chapter. Or verse 9. No, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? All they could see is publicans and sinners. But what did Jesus see? Well, he says in the next verse, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So listen, we need to see people for what they are. It doesn't matter who they are. People need the Lord. Amen? People need the Lord. So it's a matter of how you see it. It's so easy for you and I to be critical. Listen, many of the people that have come to know the Lord through this ministry come from all different backgrounds and different things in their lives. But Jesus sees them for who they are. They're people who need Him. And that's the way that you and I need to see it. It's so easy for you and I to be very Pharisaical and to be like the Pharisees. These people are sinners and publicans. Yeah, that's what we were too, sinners in need of a Savior. How do you see it? How do you see it? But then I noticed this. Not only did he see it that way, but what really made the difference as well in verse, in chapter 9, is in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He cared about these people. It's one thing to see people that have a need, but what about the compassion for that person? How much do you care for that person? They were sheep having no shepherd. They needed guidance in their lives. They needed compassion in their lives. The Reddicks that were here for 25 years ago, they came through here and presented their field, the Czech Republic, and we took them on for support 25 years ago. But what happened with the Reddicks is before they got here to present the work, like any missionary, they saw the Czech people. And how they saw them and how the circumstances of all that came about, I have no idea. I'm sure they told us at one point many years ago. But they saw the Czech people. And then they went from seeing the Czech people, like they were telling us about the city of Prague. It's a beautiful city, apparently. And we were looking at that. And Shelley and I were looking at that. And we were both saying, well, if we ever got to go back to, or Shelley got to go back to Europe, or if I ever got to go to Europe, I'd love to go to Prague. In fact, I'd like to go to Europe and visit all the missionaries that we support in Europe. And we looked at the city. It was a beautiful city. And there's something to be said for that. And I said to him, yeah. I said, I went to the city of Minsk. And I said, the city of Minsk is an ugly city. The city of Minsk was flattened in World War II. So when the communists rebuilt the city, everything is square and gray. But in Prague, it's the old style architecture of Europe. It's beautiful. But the Reddicks saw beyond the architecture. They saw beyond the beauty of the country. They saw beyond even the people per se and their ideology. God moved on their heart, and they became compassionate for them. We need to look beyond people and their exterior. We live in a whole different world today. And we have opportunity. Sometimes we look at, listen, I've got to tell you, if you saw me before I got saved, you would have thought, this guy's never going to get saved. If you knew what I was involved in before I got saved, you'd say, this guy's never going to get saved. But Jesus saw it differently. And just as Jesus had compassion here, you and I need to have compassion for people. People are mixed up today. They need the Lord. Oh, this is a picture of John Reddick now and a picture of John Reddick before he got saved. Pass it around quickly. I guarantee you, most of us, including myself, if we saw the before John Reddick, we would be very hesitant to give him a gospel tract.
Oh, I couldn't think. I don't know.
John Reddick was?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Could have been any number of musicians back in that day. So, probably John Lennon, who said all you need is love. What he really needed was a bulletproof vest. You need to have compassion on people. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Nehemiah. I was reminded of this morning as well. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah was a prophet of the Old Testament. A lot of times when we look at the Old Testament prophets, you don't necessarily see a lot of compassion. But you do see a lot of compassion with Nehemiah. So just to bring us up to speed, Nehemiah, the children of Israel had been in captivity, but some of them now had been released to go back to Jerusalem. And in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this. Nehemiah 1:4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, what was it that caused him to do that? Well, verse 3 tells us, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Back there in Jerusalem, Jerusalem was a wreck. The walls were broken down. The city was a mess. It had been conquered. And Nehemiah hears this, and he is brokenhearted for the people and the city of Jerusalem. He hadn't seen it yet, but in his mind he could see it, and he began to have compassion. He wept for that city. He fasted. He began to pray. It's all a matter of how you see it. But Nehemiah did something that Jesus also reminded us of there in Matthew chapter 9. He said, stay in Nehemiah because we're going to look at a couple of the verses. Now, what, you remember what he said? The harvest truly is plenteous, but how did the rest of the verse go? But the laborers are few. You know, a lot of times we'll see the need, and we'll even have compassion for the people. But Jesus said, what I'm looking for is for you to take it a step further. Take it a step further. It's not only a matter of what you see, and it's not only a matter of what moves you, it's also a matter of what you're willing to do. Nehemiah then asks permission to go back to Jerusalem and is granted that permission. He goes back to the city and go to chapter 4 now. Chapter 4 of Nehemiah. It says in verse number 6, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah went back. He said, "Not only do I see the need, and not only do I have compassion on the people," but he also said this. He said, "I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it." So let's take it back to missions. So not all of us can go to the Czech Republic or to Ecuador or to England or to Peru. But you can be, and you should have, the eyes of Jesus. We have a family that's going to the Cape to start a church. And we told them that they could come this past missions conference, but we'd give them a love offering, but we probably wouldn't be able to take them on for support. And they were glad to come and present the work. So that couple, they've seen with the eyes of Jesus the need on the Cape. They've been moved with compassion to go and start a church on the Cape. And they're going to do it. They're out laboring right now trying to raise support. Well, after they left, and we had our meeting, and we kind of presented to the church what we could do, we had a family come to me, a man came to me, and said to me, one of our members, "Pastor, if I increase my missions giving, can we take X amount, can we take on another family?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." He said that I'm going to do it. And he did. So one family saw the need of the Cape, had compassion for the Cape, and are moved to go to the Cape. The other family saw the need of the Cape, had the compassion for the Cape, and just as much as the one family is going to the Cape, this other family is helping them to get. They're all laborers, is what I'm trying to say. You understand what I'm saying? But that's missions. That's when Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I've often always said, there are goers and there are senders. So it's great to have missionaries coming. And I was moved by the Reddicks, and God really spoke to my heart about a number of things. And I hope that God spoke to your heart. But the most important thing is, well, you saw it, and you had compassion for it, but now what are you going to do about it? You know, that's the question. What are you going to do about it? Well, you can pray. I can pray for them, Pastor. That's very important. I've often said this too. Our money gets them there, but our prayers, and I've said this to missionaries, and they said, right on. Our money gets them there, but it's our prayers, right on. But our prayers, they said that when I was young too, right on. That's where it all began. Our prayers, right there, John Reddick, I bet you said, right on, man, right on. He was looking like that. Our prayers is what keeps them there. That's why I put 10, every week, 10 missionaries on the back of the prayer list. They're there to pray for them. It's a matter how you see it. It's a matter what moves you. It's a matter what you're willing to do. So they built the wall in verse 6. Oh, but wait a minute. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. "When it came to pass, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews." Whenever there's a labor for the Lord, there's going to be some kind of opposition. Whenever there's a prayer time for the things of God, there's going to be opposition. They mocked. There was indignation. Verse 2, "And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of the rubbish which are burned?" Here's some of the mocking. "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall." This isn't going to last. Look at verse 7. Oh, by the way, what did we read in verse 6? Well, they kept building the wall. They kept building it. They weren't going to run into some opposition. Oh, we just can't do this. We just can't do this. Verse 7, came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Didn't stop. The opposition didn't stop. That's why it's important that we pray for our missionaries. There's opposition before the missionaries even get to the field. There's opposition when they get to the field. By the way, I didn't say this because the Reddicks were here, but John Reddick pastored Victory Baptist Church up in Virgins, where my friend Tim Taylor is the pastor now. He pastored there for 2 years. One night, the Reddicks were in their bedroom asleep with their little baby girl next to them, and a man broke into their house and just beat Brother Reddick, with Mrs. Reddick climbing all over the man, trying to pull him off of him. But it didn't stop them from serving the Lord. They're working with a couple right now in the Czech Republic who were in Papua New Guinea. I think my daughter might have met them. I'm not sure if she met them. And that couple were missionaries to Papua New Guinea, and just in the last few years, their house was broken into, and the woman, it was a very dangerous situation. And it really unsettled these missionaries. They could not stay in Papua New Guinea any longer. It was a very similar situation to the Reddicks. Could have even been worse. But the Lord intervened. But they didn't give up. Now they're working with the Reddicks in the Czech Republic, missionaries there. We just sometimes get a little bit of pushback ourselves from somebody that's got a bad attitude and we're ready to throw in the towel. Nehemiah's people, they didn't stop. Nothing was going to stop Nehemiah. He prayed in verse 4, "Hear, O God, for we are despised and turn." They knew that they were despised. They knew that they were hated. They knew that people didn't want them. There was people who didn't want them to get this work done. Look at verse 9. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Verse 11. "Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, when you shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Threats and ridicule and mocking. Middle of verse 14. All right, let's just read verse 14. I'm almost done. "And I looked and rose up, and I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them." Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work." I love that verse 14 where it says, "Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses." It's a lot easier for us to ridicule, find fault, not have the eyes of compassion, not have the heart of compassion, not want to be involved in the labor. But not Nehemiah and his people. They put on a fight. And God brought the enemy's counsel to naught. In fact, in verse 16 it says, "And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and the shield and the boats and the harbingers. And the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah." Some of them had a watch for the enemy, and some of them could work. "Those which builded on the wall," verse 17, "bear the burdens. Those that laid it, every one with his own hands wrought in the work. And with the other hand, they held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and builded. And he sounded the trumpet, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me." Trumpet would sound if there was an alarm. So go back now and we're done. Go back to Matthew chapter 9. So when he saw the multitudes in verse 36, he was moved with compassion. What kind of eyes do you have? When you look at people, do you have the eyes, do you have the eyes of compassion for them? Do you see beyond what they look like, what they wear, what they talk about, where they go? Do you see beyond that? Do you see the emptiness of their heart, the emptiness of their thoughts, the great need in their lives? Are you moved by that? Do you have compassion for people? People are lost and they're dying and they're going to hell. And then, what are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about it? Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So, we have a harvest field all around us. In many ways, even in our own homes, just in our families. The harvest is plentiful. What are we willing to do about it? Right? I'm sorry, when missionaries come by, I just see what they deal with and have put up with and the great challenges that they've had. And it's just amazing to see how God works. I love that testimony of that young man. It was so genuine. Just a young man, like some of your ages, some of you young adults that are here. Just a young man raised in like an atheism. And all of a sudden, just clicks. And he wants to put the Lord first in everything that he does. It's exciting to see God work in people's lives. It really is. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity that you now give us to pray, and we're thankful for our salvation. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you loved us, that you care for us, that you want the very best for us. So bless our prayer time now. Let it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.